Fourth and goal. Bowles sidearms it, and it will be caught for the touchdown by Golden Tate.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Will the NFC playoffs get fold again? Let's figure it all out with the man seated to my immediate left, our third Dave Dameshek football program of the week. Why did we go from 2 to 3 this week? Because it's the playoffs, and it's important.
Oh,
open your ears. Get ready to learn. Because the man seated to my left has taught me a great deal about the great game of pro football, about the human side of it. Even though he gets the X's and O's as well as anybody, he also long ago told me, watch what happens. It's about the people and the connections and who they know, just like it is in every other industry. We see that playing out in the coaching circles and the new coaching hires specifically. But we'll get to all that in just a minute. First of all, let's say hello to our pal from Move the Sticks and beyond. You hear him all over the place. As a matter of fact, blowing up Fox Sports Radio, so on and so forth.
My gosh.
His friend Colin Cowherd loves kibitzing about this, that, and the other with him.
I sense a little jealousy. You look jealous?
I'd like an invite.
You look jay?
Not jealous. I would like an invite.
You want an invite? You have so many other things going on.
Why don't we listen? So what?
You can never
get
enough.
I could do more.
Never get enough?
No, indeed. By the way, speaking of that, brand new Daves of Thunder available for your listening at your earliest opportunity, wherever you find your favorite podcast. But let's talk about pro football, shall we, Bucky Brooks?
Okay, let's talk about it.
All right. We can talk about the coaches. We'll get to everything else. I think because, like I say, the divisional round is important. And in fact, it's a sad weekend, really. I don't want to bum you out, Buck, but 4 games this weekend. Uh-huh. And then it's like, then the following weekend's like, what? Oh, there are only 2 games? And then after that, Bucky, there's the big party that goes on for a week in Atlanta, and then it's over, man. We're almost done.
Yeah, but then we have the fun part. We get to the draft season and combine.
I love it.
Underwear Olympics and all of the other stuff. Oh, you have issue with the combine. It's the
combine, right? Yeah. Thank you for remembering that, Bucky.
You have an issue with that.
You're on the right side of history if you follow my lead on that one. A combine. Wait, here. Tell me which is right. A combine is a piece of farming equipment.
You always go to that.
A combine is when you bring together a group of people for one purpose, which sounds closer to what it is. Now, the combine, what it does, it separates the wheat from the chaff. So in a way, you could say really that was very cleverly named, especially in the Hoosier State where they like their farming, so on and so forth. Listen, we don't have time for that. Let's start it off. You ready there, Spaghetti? Hit it! Red challenge flag picks. Oh, Bucky doesn't want to sing. He just wants to get the business.
I don't know. I'm unfortunate. I don't know all the songs. Like the little stuff that you have. I'm waiting for you to play like, hey, we're the monkeys and all this other stuff. Like this isn't really my genre when it comes
to. Hey, we're the monkeys. Yeah. What does that mean?
It's a little 70-ish. 70s-ish for me. Like
this show.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't even know what that means. This show is 70s-ish?
Kind of.
In what sense? 70s-ish?
Just the music.
Because I look like I'm 70?
Nah, I just feel like I'm...
Oh, when I play the NFL Films music? Don't... listen, say what you want about me, but don't you dare denigrate the great Sam Spence music.
I just feel like I need to have one of those floor TVs that we used to have at my grandma's house.
I don't even understand what the charge is. Are you calling me antiquated in my thinking?
I don't know. It's just a little different.
I'm progressive, Bucky. I'm a progressive minded.
I mean, everything comes back around, so you're on the front end of it.
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. I love the progressive play callers out there. I'm all on board with this. The thing
did
I
you,
don't.
Did you pick the music or did Emma pick the music?
I picked that music.
See, because I knew Emma.
What do you think,
and
Emma?
Tamposi, if Emma and Tamposi are doing it, a lot hipper than this.
It'd be fresh.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, are you calling me square?
I'm not calling you square. I'm just saying. I told you. I feel like a 70s sitcom.
Mr. Cool. Mr. Cool. Bucky Brooks. All right. Let's start it off here, Bucky, with the thought, the recurring thought that, in fact, really emanated from a conversation I had with you in this very space a couple few years ago. It is not the curse of Madden that takes down the high-end teams, not the superstar that under center that takes his team to glory or wants to, at least. It is not any other curse other than the curse of Sposta. The team that is supposed to win in the playoffs has heaps and heaps of pressure, and no more so. We will start it off with the Chiefs hosting the Indianapolis Colts here. And I cannot imagine, imagine who, I mean, it's been fun. What a great story. Oh, a lot of people didn't think Patrick Mahomes could do it. Andy Reid saw through all that. He knew Mahomes was the guy. He now, in sophomore year of Patrick Mahomes, is the hero. He is the very likely MVP of pro football. And yet, 13, number one seed, and yet those people in Arrowhead, especially, they are the loyal fans. Everybody says, oh, nothing like Arrowhead. Nothing like, oh, nothing like playing in Arrowhead.
There's nothing like it.
That's what, I mean, really, even no, more I'm than the clink.
You. There's nothing like it.
Those people, loyal, and not, but when, it's not even going to be, Bucky, if they face some adversity. You, well, where this the curse is supposed to came from was talking about when your upstart Jaguars went in to play John Elway, the 13-3, I think is what they were. Were they 14-2? I think they were 13-3. Either way, the high-end Elway team, all that, they were great. You guys were lucky to be in the playoffs, so on and so forth.
Yep.
You go in there, all of a sudden you're ahead, and then the second half, what happens is the dynamic is that the home crowd starts to say, oh, my God, are we going to lose this game? We're not supposed to lose this game. And then that nervous energy makes its way times 70,000 down onto the sidelines, both sidelines. The road team is now imbued with added powers while the while that nervousness permeates its way into the souls of John Elway and everybody else, right?
Yeah, it's a little different. So I've been on it both sides. I've been on it like in 96. Playing with the Jaguars, we go on the road to knock off the Buffalo Bills. We earned the right to play the number one seed, the Denver Broncos, in their place. They laughed at us when we came in. There was all kind of headlines. They were the big to-do. They didn't take us seriously. Shannon Sharp and those guys are chirping the whole time. And then they jump out on top of us right out the gate. Like, oh, okay, they're going to dismiss us or whatever. But the game, Jaguars battle their way back. Mark Brunell hits a big pass down the sideline to Jimmy Smith. We send the Denver Broncos home. And the thing that was really interesting about playing that game is when you're in the stadium, in there, the energy is all about the home team. And so it's festive at the beginning. It's like a big old party. But the longer that you're the visiting team and you stay close, the more you kind of feel the stadium tighten up. Because now the anxiety you kind of feel on the sideline, because everyone in the stands like, oh, my God, we can't lose. We're no more seat. We can't lose. Like, I got these tickets. We're supposed to be in the championship game. We can't lose. And so it adds pressure. The thing that I try and tell people about the playoffs are so much different than the regular season. I was taught as a young player, they'll tell you like early on in training camp, hey, man, there's four different speeds to this thing. There's preseason speed, regular season, there's playoffs, and then the Super Bowl is even beyond what the playoffs are. And what happens is the game speeds up. It's far more physical. And we saw that last weekend. They don't really call penalties. They let you knock people out. All the targeting thing, we didn't see any of that last weekend, right? And so it's just a different game. And the emotional roller coaster of the game, because it's the do or die nature, it's the finality of it all, you have to be wired the right way to do it. And so the fans also go through that, because I'm sure when you watch a playoff game, you're probably a little more emotional. Like the highs are high, the lows are lower when you're watching the game. And so players get that same sense.
Well, because when you see, because there, it occurs to you somewhere early in the second half, especially for whatever reason, but I guess human beings are predisposed to negative thought or to understand that death is the mother of all beauty. Yes. And you start to realize our beautiful season is about to die if we don't do something here. And you say, oh, you start to do the math. Only 27 minutes left in our season if we don't do anything. And if the other team has the lead, and if you are the Los Angeles Rams and Zeke Elliott is just spinning that clock on you, spinning that clock, we got to get the ball back. We got it. Forces you. It's not just the fans. The QB starts to press. The OC starts to press. We got to get it here.
Yeah, the play caller. Like, so we always talk about that game being big, and sometimes the game is too big, not only for players, but for coaches.
You see, guys,
act out of character. They do stuff that they don't do. All of a sudden you have, let's just use the national championship game on Monday night. Clemson, Alabama. Early in the game, Alabama is running a fake field goal. And you're like, what in – who is this? Mm-hmm. Like, why are they playing with that desperation? And some of that comes from when you're on the sideline and you're looking, you're like, oh, yeah, we can't stop these guys. Like, we're going to have to pull out all the stops and the bells and whistles and all that other stuff. And so it takes a while for you to get used to playing in that environment because of the win-or-go-home nature of the game. You talked about, like, the finality of it. Oh, you begin to feel it. Like, that game more than any other game, you look at the clock, you pay attention to the score, you're always looking up at the scoreboard. How much time is left? Even if you're ahead, how much time is left? Do we get to run it out? Can we run out the clock? Mm-hmm. So it is a different thing. And so when we think about Kansas City, I was there in Kansas City when we were the number one seed in 97. We had the number one seed. We were playing the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. The Denver Broncos came into our place, and we made a switch that we should have never made. We had Rich Gannon, who was hot. Poor Rich Gannon now put Elvis Gerbach in. He is out there. It's a playoff game. It's too much for him. It's too big. And we lose 14-10. And so part of this curse that goes with the Kansas City Chiefs, I was a part of that. I know what it feels like. Last year, we saw them jump out and lose it. They haven't won a playoff game since 93. That's a lot of pressure. And guess what? Every fan knows. You know we haven't won a playoff game since 93. We haven't won a playoff game since 93. And like you're like, I wasn't here in 93. Doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
You get all of it.
That's right. Because
they bring
those
it all
people,
into the stadium with them.
Again, the difference with, like, say, a Tennessee Titans fan and a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and that's why it's especially ripe to be victimized. The Chiefs are subject to potential victimization of the curse, as opposed to because of those, specifically because of those dedicated fans who, I mean, this tentpole franchise in pro football, the Chiefs, they play in the first Super Bowl. They basically, with Lamar Hunt, start a second pro football league, and it turns into the second half of the NFL that we now know. They go to a Super Bowl, then they become the second AFL-sided team to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. After that, they never go back to another Super Bowl. It's been a half a century. They're 4 years ahead of where the Jets fans are, the Browns fans are. All right. Well, yeah. No, that, or the Lions. You know, this is sad. We consider this Chiefs team like, oh, it must be great to be a Chiefs fan. Not if you like to get the Super Bowls, because they don't get there. And those people are going to be very nervous. So with that being said, Bucky Brooks, the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm already hearing the excuses. But I'm hearing the talk. Well, this isn't your normal six seed. This is Andrew Luck and this defense. All right, it's a six seed. This is the divisional round. You're coming off a bye. You have Andy Reid. We know his legendary. Give him an extra week to prepare. All that stuff.
He's awesome at it.
You got the phenom in Mahomes there. There's no reason that you can lose this game at home to the Indian, or you must feel like you have to win this game. Question is, will they? Indianapolis Colts, Kansas City Chiefs, Bucky Brooks, choose.
I'm going with the Colts.
Bang! I'm going to stick with the kid. I say Mahomes gets it.
What?
I'm saying that he's going to overcome.
You're saying Mahomes gets it. You know what the record is. We just talked about all this stuff, like game changing and all this stuff. You know what the Young Gunners record was last weekend? 0-3. Young quarterbacks getting that first entry into the postseason, it's a little much. Deshaun Watson, my guy.
I love Deshaun Watson, yeah.
He looked nothing like Deshaun Watson against the Colts. We will see, and everyone talks about, oh, he loves the bright lights. He loves the big stage, the bright lights. It's different, man. It's different. And I think it takes a while to settle in. The best case scenario for the Kansas City Chiefs, but they did this last year. They jump right in front of it.
Well, that's what I was just going to say
last year. So
that's what they must do. Because that's been the 2018 recipe.
They knock you out.
The game starts. It's like, wait, it's 14-0. What happened here? That if that doesn't happen, I would be very nervous sitting in the stands.
You're a UFC fan?
Not really. No.
Not really.
No.
Okay, so this is kind of like a cyborg fight. So there's cyborg. Cyborg is big chick. She goes in there. She just roughs him up, but like last weekend, 2 weekends ago, she went in there against Amanda Nunes. She got knocked out.
That's what they always say. Tyson, the premise was extend the fight.
Yeah, so the thing is, for the Indianapolis Colts, they just want to take him into the deep water.
Right.
Because the longer this game stays tight, the more pressure goes on them. And when you think about Frank Reich is a very experienced coach. He's also been in this thing like four times as a player. They went to the Super Bowl four straight years in the Buffalo Bills. This isn't too big for him. And so he has talked about how important it is to do whatever it is, whatever they need to do to win the game. And so whether that's run for 200, throw for 400, I think he's going to be very, very aggressive. And what you would want to do is you want to make Kansas City play uphill. Make them chase some points because
right.
the longer they're down, the more the anxiety gets on not only them, but on the head coach. Remember, Andy Reid.
I completely agree with
him. Andy
Reid, my next question.
Always question like game management, time management. Can he win the big one? There have been a number of failures in the postseason. As much as we like to say that that doesn't bother
us. Oh, he's not thinking about that. What, is he a human being or is he a cyborg? Right.
The human element matters. And so if I'm Indianapolis and I'm playing there, I just kind of want to take it. Just kind of take it into see if we can just get it into the fourth quarter. The way we used to call it is, let's just take it a quarter at a time. Let's just see if we can win the first quarter. Don't worry about the entire game. Let's just see if we can win the first quarter and get it into the second quarter. Ooh, maybe we can get it to halftime, just tight, like within three. Or,
I mean, if it was like a four-point game towards halftime,
so that's what you want to do.
Fans are going to be nervous.
They want to be nervous, and also the way that your quarterback plays, he's been cool as a cucumber, but he's a risk taker, and it won't always come up his way. And so,
well, by the way, as you say, it takes a minute to get used to acclimate to that. Well, that's a bad that doesn't mix up very well with what we're saying about that the Chiefs have to come out and jump the Colts if they're going to win this game. I don't think that it's nip and tuck down the line and Mahomes is making heroic plays late in the fourth today.
They're going
to
blow him all the way out.
Andrew Luck is more likely to be the guy doing
that. Well, yeah,
that.
He's been in there. Like the game slows down. The game slows down for him. So that's
what would you say then? So if you last thing on this game, then what would you say to either Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy or Patrick Mahomes or all three of them if they were seated before you right now to get mentally right for this one?
Well, having known Andy or whatever, like I think you have to be yourself, but I think you also have to play the game the right way when you're at home. When you're at home, the game is a little different because, man, you really want to play from ahead. So if actually I'm them, I'm really all gas and no brakes at the beginning. Like, I want to make sure that our fans see us playing the same style. I don't want to be conservative. All the fun, sexy stuff that we've done, the double motions, the triple motions, Tyreek Hill. I want to make sure that Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce touch the ball early and often. And no one has talked about this, right? It's kind of been the thing. Like, we haven't talked about Kareem Hunt being gone and not being on the squad. Like, they continue to roll on. But here's where the loss of Kareem Hunt could really affect them. Because if the game gets out of sorts, normally what you want to do to slow it down, to get your quarterback under control, is to turn around and hand it off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel good enough about Damian Williams and some of the other guys?
Spencer Ware should be ready to go.
Yeah, but are they good enough to carry this in the postseason? We know that Kareem Hunt was a guy that we considered maybe an elite running back. He's not there. Can one of these guys play at an elite level for two or three games to help him get over the hump?
And Bucky Brooks says no. They will not, and it'll be the Colts, the sixth seed, moving on to the AFC title game. All right, there you have it. I am going to take the Chiefs on the idea that Andy Reid, with 2 weeks to get ready for this one, is going to have something ready so that they are, by the five-minute mark of the first quarter, that they have a touchdown lead. But, you know, Marlon Mack and T.Y. Hilton, it's not like those guys ain't splashy themselves and can't make a big-time play and suddenly spook the entire crowd. You know, they make a splashy play early. That's going to get things sideways, like you say. All right. The other game on Saturday here in the Los Angeles Coliseum. Now, we don't have to worry about the home crowd factor putting pressure on the hometown kid or the hometown QB because it really might be more of a home field advantage for the visiting Dallas Cowboys.
America's team.
I mean, I do think it's going to be about 50-50,
Can you
right?
refer to him as America's team as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? Can you refer to him as America's team?
No, I announced 2 years ago that is
American?
An annual. No, I announced. It has nothing to do with that. I don't understand.
It's America's team. Why can't you call it
America's
team?
We change MVP and Heisman Trophy and everything else every year. Why do they get to be America's team forever? We have to like them. All of America must get behind this team, no matter the state, no matter who's on it.
I mean, I grew up, they were America's team.
2017, it was the Philadelphia Eagles.
Team, Philadelphia Eagles?
Sure.
No way.
Chris Long and Malcolm Jenkins, arm in arm, they go on to win the Super Bowl. That was a statement for society.
It's not America's team.
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of people not rooting for the Eagles in that Super Bowl. Everybody's like, yeah, I want to see Belichick get another one. Come on. Come on. Wake up, Bucky. Let's talk about the here and now.
Dallas and the Rams.
The Cowboys, it's the Rams in the Coliseum. The choose.
I'm American. So I have to go for America's team.
You're not taking. You really think the Cowboys are going to win this game?
It's the worst matchup for the LA Rams.
Because?
The absolute worst
matchup
that they could have. Because defensively, the Cowboys' speed is overwhelming. It's suffocating. And when you look at the Rams, and I like the Rams, they've been a nice story. Sean McVay's done a great job of elevating the quarterback. They have a terrific running back in Todd Gurley, who is from the crib. But when you look at their players, like their players on the outside, Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks, they're nice players. But I don't know if they're A-level players on their own merit. Mm-hmm. When I look at the Cowboys and I look at the speed that they have at the front line, their pressure that they can get with DeMarcus Lawrence and some of the other guys, their linebackers.
I feel like Tank Lawrence. Am I right in saying this? I like when people I dislike when people casually throw out. No one gives that guy his due, but I do feel like Tank Lawrence for one of the best guys three downs out there is Tank Lawrence, and I don't hear a lot of noise about
him. He's an outstanding player. They have Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, two young linebackers that arguably are the best 1-2 punch at the position. In the secondary, Byron Jones has played terrific for the majority of the season. He's been victimized and given up some plays of late. But, man, I just love what their secondary can do because they'll lock up and play man-to-man. Chris Richard brings a lot of energy and a lot of knowledge to this because, look, he was in Seattle for a long time. He knows how the Rams like to get down. I think they do it.
That's an interesting point. I didn't think about that.
And then on offense, Ezekiel Elliott is their kryptonite. The Rams are a team with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. They want to rush the passer. And the thing that pass rushers don't like, they don't like having to deal with the run. And they definitely don't like when you start double-teaming them at the point of attack. And what the Dallas Cowboys would do, and I anticipate them doing, they're going to pound it at them. They're going to run it at them. Because when you go and you look, the Seattle Seahawks played them twice. Both times, I think the Seattle Seahawks had over 200 yards on the ground. And that's typically not something that you can correct. Like, if you're weak against the run, you can continue to struggle against it. And so for the Cowboys, it plays into the formula of they're going to grind it out. Dak Prescott's also going to add some with his legs. And then it's about Amari Cooper dealing with Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters.
Well, I hear you on all that, but two things. This is completely a hypothesis on my part, but I suspect at least that Wade Phillips, who's been around the block and knows how to tune up a defense for playoff-specific games and teams that are going to suddenly lean more heavily on the run, isn't he going to be able to create a scheme that puts Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and the rest of the fellas in a spot to, all right, our priority today is stopping 21. It's not anything else. It's not getting after four. It's take away 21. Can't they cook something up with that high-end talent that they have out there? And by the way, the defense has been pretty good in the last 5-6 weeks.
Okay, let me just ask you something. Let's just say, you ever laid bricks?
Yeah, I've done a lot of bricklaying.
So just imagine if this weekend I said, Dave, I'm going to have you come over to the crib and we're going to lay bricks all day.
Uh-huh.
That's not really your MO, right?
Right.
So you're asking two pass rushers to take on double teams, to split them, to love that dirty world. Yeah, that's not happening. And so if you're the Dallas Cowboys early and often, you want to punish them and pound them. And if you have success, then you keep them from doing what they really want to do.
I don't think you're directly casting aspersions on the so-called greatest defensive player of the 21st century. To my eye, it seems like Aaron Donald is that.
He's outstanding.
Well, that's a weird thing to not. Well, yeah, I'm just not good against the run, but otherwise, I'm the best defensive player of all time, even though I'm playing on the defensive interior.
I don't cast checks for stopping the run. No one cares about that. No one cares about, like, if I stop the run on a big money thing. Everyone looks at the sacks, and so we saw it last week. I'll give you an example. You saw the Indianapolis Colts run for over 200 yards on Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt. You know why? Because it hurts. It hurts stopping the run. It's physical, people running at you, bodies on top of you. That's not the fun part. Everyone signs up to do the fun stuff. The fun stuff for defensive linemen is to chase the quarterback. And so they want to try and stop the run early. But if Dallas is persistent and consistent, then they can run it. And they can make those guys tap out.
I think this is a team that, despite the lack of full-on home field advantage and all that sort of thing, I do think this team could definitely get victimized by Sposta as well. Jared Goff, big spot for him, second year in that big spot playing in January. A lot of questions about, like, I mean, again, it's one of those situations where, like, wow, what a great season. I'm sure Sean McVay and everybody on down understands. Like, it means nothing. If we lose again, now we're getting into this space of
being. So that's the guy you talked about. All the other players, take all the players out of it. Sean McVay is the one that has to feel the pressure.
That's what I'm saying. Now he's Sean tracking McVay, in that direction. Like, oh, yeah, tracking. Come January, it's all a mirage.
I got this tree, and everybody wants the next Sean McVay. Right. So for all of the people who want other people to get jobs besides Sean McVay and his buddies, everyone is over here like, come on, Cowboys. Come on, Cowboys.
all of a sudden the because Cardinals and everyone else is going to what have we done?
I have learned from you how to tweak the crowd. Uh-huh. So on Twitter, I am sitting there waiting. On Saturday, I'm sitting there waiting on the Sean McVay people. This is what we want. This is what we want. We want the next Sean McVay. So there might be a small part of me that is like, man, it might be a little fun to kind of
self-validation.
No, not self-validate, but just kind of poke the bear a little bit. If they go, I've seen you do it with the Bengals. So I've taken your recipe for dealing with Bengals fans, and I've implemented it.
I don't know if you've heard, though, Bucky. I hate all 32 teams, according to the 32 fan base.
No,
I hate them
all. You don't hate all 32. I know you hate the Bengals.
No,
the rest of those teams, they don't bother you. Like, they
inaccurate.
You. Like,
if Baker, they make me laugh.
If Baker Mayfield came in and gave you like a number 6 jersey, you were wearing it. Like, it wouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
But if Andy Dalton came and gave you like a little new era fitted with.
I've met Andy. He's a nice fella.
But if he came and gave you a jersey and a fitted, you wouldn't wear that because you don't like the Bengals.
No. Yeah. Well, because they're silly. I don't hate them. I think they're silly.
You don't like them.
They amuse me. Right. Like a clown.
So you have the Rams in this? You going to Rams?
I'm taking the Rams, but I will say what you just mixed in there very, very casually is that what catches my untrained eye is that Dak Prescott, when they start using him in that RPO, that devastates. Now you have two mooses who might run. I mean, Zeke is super fast on top of everything else, but when they're most effective offensively is when four is putting it in Zeke's belly and then creating the threat that he might run at the edge. That's when they really are good, but they don't do a ton of it. I don't know why they don't. That seems to be
Scott Linehan doesn't know what his quarterback does, because if he really understood what Dak Prescott could do, he would run him maybe 4 or 5 times a game just to make them keep it honest, because all it will do is enhance what Zeke Elliott does. Just use him as like a little side dish. He's a little sweet potatoes beside the steak.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly. And by the way, Dak Prescott throws the ball a little bit better than he gets credit for, right?
Really?
I know he has inconsistent stretches, but still, he's not an abject bum.
No.
There are plenty of QBs worse than him. Oh, I have a good question for you after we're done with these picks here. Oh. Actually, I'll ask it to you right now. We'll take a halftime break.
Detour.
From the games, because I want to ask you something.
Got a detour.
It occurs to me, as we look, as Haskins now is coming out, and there are a couple more kids on their way. We have to wait a couple of years for them. And Josh Rosen might get traded and all this talk.
So you go stirring it up.
No, I'm not stirring anything up. Is it possible that we are now, I've been saying for like the last 6 months now, is it possible that all 5 of these QBs, these first round QBs, are going to work out from the 2017 draft? Beyond that, and then the Joe Flacco thing is the other thing that makes me think about this is, Joe Flacco, he'll be, so he has to leave Baltimore and he'll go somewhere else and be a starter there. Like, will he for sure? Because this is what I think. There are so many, you know better than I, with all the recruiting stuff and the high school kids and the junior high kids and so on. I feel like there's such a pipeline now, such a focus on developing quarterbacks that every NFL team is going to have a good quarterback. It's not really
That's not possible, is it?
It kind of is, isn't it?
It's
isn't
not
that
possible.
Everybody is going to have one. Who doesn't have one now, Bucky? Like, 3 teams don't have a viable QB option, right?
I mean, you're right, but...
True?
Right.
Then once these kids in the college pipeline start to arrive, then it's going to... I mean, then Drew Brees and Tom Brady will move on, but still, in Roethlisberger and Eli and Phil. But the point is, I think that this thing, this desperate need to get a semi-decent QB is about to be a thing of the past. Okay, halftime over. Now back to the action. It's the Chargers. It's the Patriots. And a good deep dive with Willie McGinnis on this game upcoming, so we won't spend a ton of time on it. But Bucky Brooks, Old Man Rivers versus Tom Terrific. Choose.
Oh, give me TB12.
Oh, we disagree on everything. Another red challenge flag.
I want some avocado ice cream or whatever. Like, Phillip Rivers has never beaten a New England Patriots. They've never beaten him with Tom Brady.
You're the one who just said... You just said
He's
15 minutes ago. You just said 15 minutes ago. This team hasn't won a playoff game since '93.
Ever.
All right. Well, what's that have to do with anything? What's Phil Rivers is thinking about that?
He's never beaten him, ever.
And what does something. That say to you? So, okay, so your math on that is that Belichick knows how to own 17.
Well, not only that, and I just think it's hard to go against the Patriots at home in Gillette. Like, for whatever reason, we can talk about how they don't have a lot of talent, but I believe that they just figure out ways to win this one specific game. And I think this game is going to be determined by their ability to run the football. Everyone is going to expect Tom Brady to throw it all over the yard. I think they're going to give it to Sonny Michel.
Oh, there's no question that that's their...
We've seen how they've started morphing into this old school team. And in fact, this version of the Patriots reminds me of the early version. I believe it's come full circle. These Patriots remind me of the 2001, 2003, 2004 Patriots that they just kind of run it. They have a bunch of no-name receivers. They just kind of find a way to win. It's nothing sexy about what they do, but they just kind of find a way to have more points than you at the end. I believe with the Chargers coming in and doing all that stuff with those little DBs that was great against the Ravens, if they put all those little dudes on the field, I think the Patriots are going to try and run them off the field.
It's funny because that's it, my comments compare favorably with what you just said, what you'll hear me say in a little bit to Willie McGinnis. I'll just say the same thing to you because it agrees. For all the hype around this game, obviously marketing-wise, it's going to be Rivers v. Brady. But the matchup that determines this one to me are the two high-end rookies, the two first-round guys, Sony Michel versus Derwin James. If Derwin James can help slow down...
See, but I think Derwin James is going to be on Rob Gronkowski.
Do you think so?
Absolutely, because he's big, he's physical. It is it's an easier matchup to put him there and then have someone else deal with those backs. Now, if Gus is able to get those guys on the field and kind of match up with them and take... You got to take the small ball away. Like, it's different. So in baseball, you're like, oh, let's let him get hits and move it over. Don't let them paper cut you to death. Like, lock up, take away the running backs, take away the stop stuff. Make Tom Brady take shots because they don't have anyone that can really run past the defense. So really clamp them down and make them take shots. And so I think you'll see more man-to-man from the Chargers. You won't see as much of that Jaguars hybrid cover three zone. You won't see that as much. More man-to-man, make him make plays. And the thing about Tom Brady is Tom Brady prefers to throw the ball inside the numbers. Make him throw the ball outside the numbers, jam the middle of the field, make him throw to the boundary and see if he has enough arm strength on it today to make those plays.
If you're interested to hear it, Bucky or anyone else, stick around because McGinnis basically points at James White as a major factor, as he has been in so many postseason games, getting out in space in the flat and making plays from there. That's what Derwin James can help take away. Mm-hmm. Ergo, that would force Brady to try and push
the
ball.
I like when you lose it, ergo.
Ergo. It's a part of my 70s vibe. What the hell does that even mean? I'm from the 70s. Do you get that, MVP? Do you understand?
Aren't you technically from the 70s?
I mean, I am, but that doesn't mean I have like a 70s vibe to me, does it?
Yeah. Like, you like to use like old-timey cliches and like language that's not necessarily in the vernacular right now.
Everyone hurts my feelings. That's what I know.
Don't be sensitive.
No. All right, here we go now. 9v9, Bucky Brooks. How about that? It's neat when that happens.
Oh, St. Nick?
Yeah.
Versus Drew Brees?
Yeah. Everybody's favorite QB of the 2017 version of America's team, the Philadelphia Eagles.
favorite quarterback.
By the way, I keep saying it, but no one's what? Taking the time. Poor Carson Wentz. Poor Carson Wentz. Imagine, poor guy's got to stand there on the sidelines and pretend he's happy about this. You know? I'll be in the locker room. I don't want to be where a camera can find
me. You don't think he's happy about
that?
Yeah,
I'm sure he loves this. I'm sure
think he's happy?
I see him smiling. He must love it.
You wouldn't be happy for me if just say for whatever reason, like you had to go away. You're out of the country doing some stuff, and I decided I'm co-hosting the Dave Damashek.
Uh-huh.
And I win like a little Emmy. You wouldn't be happy that I, hosting your show, won an Emmy? You wouldn't be happy about that?
Does that mean
the show gets an Emmy? You wouldn't be happy about that?
Well,
I mean, you still would get a piece of it. We would still get you an Emmy, but is Bucky Brooks hosting the Dave Demmer
show? Do I get to keep getting paid? Because that will be the major.
You still get to get paid, but like the Emmy is mine. Like my name. So right here we have the Emmy, but my name is on the thing. But it's for the DD. FP program. But
I love Brooks, I love when people are like, what are you talking about? Carson, did you see him on the sidelines? He looked very, he was laughing it up. Oh, yeah, he's thrilled with what's going on.
I take it you wouldn't be happy for me. I'm disappointed.
By the way, isn't it so much worse for Wentz this year than it was last year?
Oh,
last year, he's the MVP. You could martyr him and say, oh, that should have been you, 11. You were going to be the MVP. You would have done the same thing.
So I'm right.
This year, it's like we weren't going to the playoffs until Foles took over.
I'm writing about this now.
Is that right?
Yeah. Do you want the winning quarterback or the franchise quarterback?
Which
one do you want? Because, look, I mean, we can say, like, they're hot. I mean, they're hot. He's hot. He's been winning. They win all these games. And, I mean, let's just say, like, for storylines, and I'm picking the Eagles because of the storyline.
Oh, you're going to do it. All right, let's do it. Eagles, Saints, choose. Eagles, go ahead.
Eagles.
A sweep. A complete disagreement. Divisional round runs red. 0-4
You're picking all the home teams?
No, I picked the Chargers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but.
You're picking 3 road teams.
Doesn't matter.
History suggests I'll come out on the winning side of this.
Doesn't matter right now. Doesn't matter. They're all close. But like,
why make a case, a practical case for the Eagles, who just got whipped? And I know that they're playing differently with Foles versus Wentz. But as I always point to, and it's a pretty consistent trend that you can look at in pro football in the 21st century, when one pro football team annihilates another pro football team, that trend doesn't suddenly get turned on its ear 5 weeks later.
I think
I mean, it wasn't a close game. They humiliated them. I know they have pieces back in the secondary.
I think that's the thing.
That's what Maurice has been saying. He's saying, those guys are angry.
The humiliation.
Yeah.
Do you know how angry you have to be to flip somebody off in the game after a touchdown? Malcolm Jenkins, after he gave up a touchdown, turned around and gave Sean Payton the bird. Like, I just want you to think about, as mad as you may be on the 405, like, how much would it take you to be like, you know what?
Call me a 70s guy again.
Yeah,
you'll find out all about it. Yeah, I got something for
you.
Like,
just imagine that. So to think about that, then they joked them. They ran up the score. They put on ski masks and did all this other stuff. Man, when you do all of that talking, because then they did all that excessive talking after the game and all that other, just a lot. Human. You talked about the human element. Man, come on, man. It's personal.
In a practical sense, I'm much more the guy like, the emotion will reveal itself this way and impact the game. But to me, practically, X's and O's, I think it's not Alvin Kamara so much as it is Mark Ingram in this game. And I don't know what the Eagles are going to do to stop that.
Well, I think if you're the Eagles, you come into this game, you said no 13, no 41.
Right.
Anybody else, you can have at it. So if Mark Ingram has a big game, we'll tip our head and we'll live with that. But what we're not going to do, we're not going to let Alvin Kamara get loose, and we're definitely not going to let Thomas get loose. Make Ted Ginn catch a million passes, make someone else do something, but I'm not going to let those guys. Now, Jim Schwartz, that's not his normal MO to do a whole bunch of brackets or exotic stuff or whatever, but I think this is a game where they may have to resort to some of those tactics. You cannot let people beat you with their best players. Make the backup singers do it. Don't let Beyonce win. Let the others, Michelle and all them, Kelly Rowland, let them sing. But don't let Beyonce do it. Don't get beat by Beyonce. That's the thing. They have to be committed to letting someone else do it. They cannot let the stars have the big game.
All right. I like it. Again, though, it's not like the defense is New Orleans is mediocre even at this point. It's in the upper half.
Yeah, it's
at least
in the upper half, but it's kind of like, kind of fraudulent. Like, it's not. I mean, it's fine. They're winning games and doing some stuff, but they're not a dominant unit. They play well. They have one pass rusher in Cam Jordan. Sheldon Rankins is pretty good, but in the secondary, they can get got. They've been gotten. Like, Eli Apple is Eli Apple. We've seen people find him. He could potentially be Waldo in this game. And Waldo means, like, you know, when we played in the pool.
That's one of the things I've learned.
Or Marco Polo or any of those things. Whatever you want to call them, we're trying to find them.
The guys who do it best, the QBs who are the most successful are the ones who can ID who the liability is in the secondary.
And don't let
them
up.
And you just watch them be mean to that guy, basically.
Don't let up. Don't let up.
Just keep throwing at him.
Yeah.
All right. Great stuff, Bucky Brooks. Excellent stuff, despite the mean-spirited talk there.
Mean-spirited.
Do you really think that Josh Rosen might get traded? That would be a weird thing to do.
I don't think so. I don't think they'll trade him.
Yeah.
But something has to come out of the next day or so to kind of calm that down because he'll get his feelings hurt.
That's right. Well, Rap Sheet is already saying that the Cardinals are, or insiders are saying it's not going to happen. But yeah.
No. Somebody has to make a statement. This is our guy. We love him. We're building around it. All that other stuff. I mean, imagine if those guys came and after I got the Emmy and they didn't say like, oh, no. This is Sheck's show. Even though Buck did a great job filling in. Like, you want to hear that. You wouldn't want to be like, I would
need that. Yeah, yes, you know me well.
Reassurance.
Even though you somehow jump in a time machine to pay me a visit back in the 70s.
In the 70s.
I don't even know what that means.
The Partridge Family.
I know what happened in the 70s. How I have some connection to it, I don't know.
Look, it's the decor, everything. Just everything.
Decor.
It just reminds me of the 70s.
Are you mad that your shirt's not up there? Because we can change that. If that's what this mean-spirited attack is about.
I didn't even know until you pointed it out. I didn't know I don't have a shirt up there.
Yeah,
and you got Willie in a Browns jersey?
He's a Browns legend, Willie McGinnis. Yeah. He played for the Browns. You know that? He left his other team and then went and played for the Browns.
Does he know that he has a Browns jersey?
No, please don't tell him. He knows, of course.
He has to look up there and see a Browns jersey. You got Sean O'Hara in a Cleveland.
Sean O'Hara has mustard on it because he once, when he was a rookie, went in at halftime of a game.
But had a hot dog?
And had a wiener. He had the trainer.
Why do you call it wiener? Wiener sounds so nasty.
All right. What do you want me to call it?
It just sounds perverse.
All right. Listen, Oscar Mayer was good enough for Oscar Mayer. It's good enough for Damashek. Either way, O'Hara went into the trainer. He said, I'm really hungry. Can you get me something to eat? And the equipment manager said, go to stall number 3. And he met him in there. He delivered him a wiener, and he gave him mustard packets. So that's going the extra mile by the guy. And O'Hara was like, well, you know what? If I want to enjoy it, I'm going to enjoy it all the way. So he tried to do the mustard, and it sprayed on his shirt. And then he walked.
That is unbelievable.
Then he walks out of the stall. He walks out of the stall, and who's it, the only other person standing there in the bathroom? Head coach Chris Palmer. Chris Palmer.
That's unbelievable.
That's true.
Wow.
Chris Palmer. And O'Hara made eye contact with Chris Palmer, and he just shook his head, and O'Hara says, I knew I wasn't going to be playing in the second half. That's true. But listen, that's all rearview mirror stuff. We can look ahead together if Brooks needs his Bucky. Actually, we should put that up there just so we could see the full name on the back of the jersey.
Well, I mean,
Bucky
Brooks. If you get the Buffalo one, yeah, you have the full name.
Bucky Brooks.
I got some choices.
Who's the first pick in the draft?
First pick in
Let's
the draft.
Let's get your first pick. Let's get the one first overall pick mock draft, and then we're done.
Nick Bosa would be the first pick.
Nick Bosa, still. All the questions, all the stuff, it's not going to make a difference when it comes down to it.
He'll still be the dude. Okay. Arizona Cardinals, they have to get a pass rusher.
All right. Bucky Brooks, you're going to the Senior Bowl coming up, right?
I'm going to the East-West Bowl next weekend, and then I'm going to the Senior Bowl. You can check all that coverage out on NFL Network. How about that?
You know, and
you that plug?
I did like that. And the other thing I would like to see, this is the time of the year. Well, listen, I would like to see, you know what I think about the Loser Bowl. That would really jazz things up.
What is the Loser Bowl?
We've talked about this. The two worst teams by record play each other in between the title games and the Super Bowl. And then the winner of that game gets the first overall pick. Makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
Oh, you're trying to do like don't they do that in soccer, like Premier League when they...
Yeah,
they're playing down or something like that. Like,
well, that's relegating. This is more positive because if you win a game, if you're a bum team and you win the game, now you get the first overall pick. So you're playing for something. And people say, the cynics say, yeah, but why would a quarterback who, if the best player available is a QB in the draft, why would the QB try to play well? Like, well, then that's something as the head coach you got to figure out. You got to work that out if you're the head coach.
That's a creative idea.
I also would like to see, you're connected to NFL and college football. Maybe you could connect these dots and bring back the great college football all-stars against the defending Super Bowl champs.
That would not be a good deal.
What about if we did the worst team in the NFL against college football all-stars?
That would not work either.
In January. Wouldn't that be a fun one?
It would work. I would be in favor of bringing back the superstars.
I've been talking with people online about the superstars. It's the
best. Because you're mired in the 70s.
You're the one who just said you wanted it back. Why are you Meyer there?
You started clapping, and that's what you want. Yeah.
How would you do in the suit? Who would win the superstars if we did it here at the NFL Media?
I would think Reggie Bush would probably win it. He looks like he's in really
good shape. Reggie Bush.
Yeah, he takes a long time to get ready. He looks like he's in really good shape. Like when you see him come in, it's an ordeal. Like he's
who would win, you or DJ? Daniel Jeremiah. He played college quarterback, man.
It depends on what the things are. Yeah. I would like to think that I would win.
Who do you think would win, me or Greg Rosenthal?
That's tough.
Now you've insulted me.
That's a tough one.
Oh, stop it.
It is a tough one.
He's a tennis guy. What are you talking about?
He's like a little Kyler Murray.
Oh, stop it. That hurt. Now you've gone too far.
Because I know
I like to have fun, but now sometimes
it was a quarterback competition. Because I know I've seen you throw. He might dare!
Because this, look at that. Ooh,
you might be.
I start right before the season. I was throwing passes to number 84 Antonio Brown. That's maybe what started the whole dust up. Is like, we get a QB like Damashek? That guy's got it. I like that left. You know, I like
it.
Coming.
You messed it up.
What did I mess up?
You ruined the fabric of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, I could tell you stories.
You did.
I want to hear more about that, but we'll cut it off here because we've got 2 months before the trade deadline. Actually, just because since everybody else is weighing in, will he be on the Steelers in September of 2019?
Oh, no, go sell your jerseys. He's out.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He's going to be in the Bay Area,
San
Francisco.
Hey, listen, I'm trying to work out with David Carr is a deal that we get two of those first-round picks and we'll send you 84. All of a sudden,
that won't happen.
Derek Carr. Why? Because Gruden doesn't want him, but Kyle Shanahan can handle him.
He needs some juice.
All right. Either way, we'll see. I also think time heals most wounds. No. And I think if they wait it out, that you might be like, all right.
And bring him back.
I agree. I don't know what promise you could get.
Quarterback threw the ball at him.
It has nothing to the fact that you know makes you so untrustworthy.
Threw the ball at him. He said Juju is the number one receiver. That's disrespectful.
I mean, come on, Bucky. Are you really going to do that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Now I have to ask one more question.
It's disrespectful. He disrespected.
It's also disrespectful to not show up for the last regular season.
Well, don't throw the ball at me and call me out in front of my buddies.
I mean, in front of your
buddies. Have a little more tact.
I mean, you and Maurice with the back and forth of like moving the goalposts, as they say, about what's allowed.
You have on your 7 jersey again today?
What?
You wear it every day. You have on your jersey?
You act like I'm not critical.
You're not. Always make excuses for him.
No, I absolutely.
You and all the Pittsburgh people. Y'all are all in on him. Like, man, the dude gets he gets the ultimate pass.
You think I mean, how could that you possibly say that after the number of conversations we've had over the years?
Yeah,
I always give him a pass.
Yeah, but you don't say it publicly, though.
I do, too. Okay. And I absolutely do. And one. And two, the thing that I say recently, or even said around the draft when after Mason Rudolph was picked, Roethlisberger, such a bad teammate.
He doesn't comport himself. That's what you say. He doesn't comport himself like a franchise quarterback, blah, blah,
fine.
Blah, 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 blah.
But my pushback on that is always, who does? Who does? Brett Favre is the only guy. Maybe Philip Rivers. Who all the guys love and all the guys are going to follow in this rah-rah movie.
Tom Brady.
Really? Are you positive?
Positive.
He's the one who had Jimmy Garoppolo traded away.
Get him up out the building. I don't want him.
That's exactly right.
He's competing.
Brady's the goal spot. And Roethlisberger isn't competing when he's like, why are you drafting my backup? They're all like that. Tom Brady, he doesn't badmouth teammates, but his wife does.
It's his wife, not him.
Oh, come on. See, this is what I'm talking about. I can poke holes in all these, but what about this guy? What about that guy?
His wife's an independent woman. What is he going to do? He's going to tell her to shut up.
Aaron Rodgers is a leader of men. That's what he does. He's a rah-rah guy. Come on, guys. Get the hell.
Don't get excited when he does the discount.
I'm just saying. You proved my point with your casual sarcasm. My point.
I didn't prove any point.
You just did. You agreed with me without agreeing with me.
Your quarterback. It's your quarterback's the issue. He's the common denominator.
All right, it's going to be an issue when he's putting on a gold jacket. I don't disagree with you that is an imperfect soul.
He'll put on a gold jacket when I mean teammates to show up.
Ooh, all his offensive linemen. Vance McDonald.
Those are the only guys he wants to get paid. Outside of him. You notice how he got a contract extension coming? I thought he was going to retire. I thought he was worried about his health. And
so was Brett Favre. So was Brett Favre. What, Brett Favre didn't do that? Hey, now, also, you know what else happened?
Oh my. I don't know if I can. Oh, what? You give me $25 million? Oh, I can. Oh, I'm good. I'm okay.
Well, listen, another great was Joe Montana. He didn't like the situation in San Francisco either. As it turns out, every NFL starting quarterback, it's a weird thing. They all have big egos. What a funny thing. They're paid 20s of millions of dollars. Anyway, Spaghetti and MVP are like, again with this crap, Damashek. It's because you see it. You can't make this about Dave. It's Bucky poked at me, and I had to defend it, Spaghetti.
You once again doing it. Ben Roethlisberger stuff right there. Like, you point the finger. Just own up and be like, you know what? It's my fault. I ran long, et cetera, et cetera. Bring the other teammates in. But you're just like him. You start pointing Bucky. Bucky's making me go, I don't make you do anything. It's your show.
You know what? Maybe it's I who's learned the lesson today. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger is a role model, and I have copied his behavior to my detriment and to the detriment of my audience, and I apologize for that. Yes, Eddie Spaghetti, you have something to say?
I was just going to say, I enjoyed Bucky going
you just
at
you.
Enjoy,
you want to agree with
stuff.
Bucky?
Yeah.
Bucky's not going to be here in 2 minutes, friend. He's going to leave, and I'm still going to be here. Then what?
It was enjoyable when Maurice did it Tuesday. It was enjoyable when Bucky did
it's
it.
Not
we're waiting for you to sprain ankles, so I can feel it.
You're welcome anytime. Let's get on that Bucky Brooks jersey thing. We'll get that up there in 1973 for you.
1973. Can we get my 22 up there, though? Can we get one? Either from the Packers or the Jaguars. I don't want to be like high maintenance, but can I get a 22 up there?
No, I like the Bucky Brooks.
No, I don't want 81. I want a 22.
Well, as you can plainly see, you don't get to make the choice.
Yeah, I want a 22. And why is the Heisman up there?
What do you mean, why?
We did that like 8 years ago. Didn't we do the Heisman? What was the Heisman race we used to do on digital?
Yeah, that's right. See, Bucky Brooks. Remembers his roots. That's what we did.
Dave saved my career here at NFL Media.
Hey, stream every NFL playoff game live on your mobile or tablet through the NFL or Yahoo Sports app. Check it out. This is anywhere you go. By the way, I'm going with my little boy to a Pittsburgh Penguins versus LA Kings hockey game on Saturday night. And so I will be using this very 21st century technology to enjoy the second half of the Rams and Cowboys game that the Rams are going to win, as I told you earlier. Or you could listen to Bucky. Either way, that's it for Buck. And now let's get to number 55, the Cleveland Browns legend and beyond, to hear a deep dive on Lynn Swann's USC. But before that, though, Patriots, Chargers, McGinnis, choose.
Dave, da 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 don't don't Dave.
All right, let's get to it now. It's this week's edition of Flake It or Make It, presented as always by Head & Shoulders, and a regular here on the segment and on the DDFP. It is Cleveland Browns legend as they hire their new head coach, Freddie Kitchens. Also, he toiled up in New England for the Patriots. Won a ring or three-ish. Also, USC, USC. We'll see if we have some time for an update on that. That's a bad one. Willie.
You're feeling good about yourself.
I'm not feeling. Huh? Why do I feel good about that?
I'm just saying, you're already in attack mode.
No, in attack mode. Believe me, you and I have mutual shame on this one because while you're a Patriots guy and a USC guy, you don't like to see Lynn
Swann. I'm a Cleveland guy, too.
Also a Cleveland guy. But, yeah, you're feeling good there. But also you have on the other side of things, you have Lynn Swann. Kind of whatever went on with Cliff Kingsbury and everything. Where'd Lynn Swann toil in the NFL? Wide receivers wearing black and gold, not exactly distinguishing themselves for good things in 2019 so far. Anywho, let's not talk about the have-nots. Let's talk about the haves, shall we? And I want to focus on that Patriots game. It's a fascinating one, of course. What else is new? The Patriots are into the divisional round, coming off a bye here. And in heads, Phil Rivers and his pals after what I would call a very impressive victory.
It was
against Baltimore.
Dominating.
Yeah, well, that because I keep calling it. I called the Ravens in the last 6 weeks or so a knuckleball in a world of fastballs.
Who'd you take in that game?
I took the San Diego Chargers in a close, or the Los Angeles Chargers.
I was
Chargers,
about to say, San Diego Chargers didn't play in that game, but Los Angeles Chargers did.
And, well, you know what? Let's start there. So,
like,
all right.
That, I got him.
I don't
stuff.
Like that at
you
all.
You got him good.
Got him good.
I don't like any of it. I don't know, you guys high five and through the glass at each other. Here's what I want to do with this one. That's we cool. don't know what the weather is going to be. Willie
it's
McGinnis
gonna
be will,
cold.
Of course,
that's
be
all
there.
We know with Leifler. So that's not a big deal.
Game day morning, be on the lookout for 55 up there in his old neck of the woods there.
Yep.
Back slapping. There he is. It's Willie and all that kind of jazz. Going to talk to Coach Belichick when you're up there?
I'm going to talk to everybody. I got friends on both sides.
Does he take time? Like when? Oh, so it's
Absolutely.
A big playoff game. Bill
Absolutely.
Belichick is like, hey, Willie, let's
we'll
catch
hug
up.
It out. I'll come in before the game. We'll talk for
and then he's
a minute.
But that's why I want
to
know.
I'm smart enough to know to stay out of the way. Like I was, you know, I played, so I get it. You don't want to talk to a bunch of
that people. Seems like a dig at me. Like you think
no,
I would go too
no,
long in the conversation.
No, I'm not saying that. You don't want to be a distraction. Even with Tom, I'll come give him a hug. We'll talk for a quick minute and I'm out. Like, get ready for the game.
Does Belichick say, like, I know I have to get ready. I have to put my cut-off sweatshirt on and all that kind of stuff. But quickly, Willie, how's everything going back in L.A. for you?
Nah, we don't talk about on? L.A. We just talk about, hey, you know.
Had any good meals
really,
lately?
Really quick on the opponents, you know, how you feel today, what's going on. How's the family real quick? And got a big one today, blah, 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 blah. All right, Coach, I'll see you after the game.
Would you ever listen? You're one of the tentpole guys from the start of the dynasty, and obviously Belichick speaks very flatteringly about Willie McGinnis. Would you have the temerity, and does he have the interest for you to say to him an hour, 2 hours before the game to say, like, "Hey, Coach, not for nothing, but I noticed this about Phil Rivers."
Oh, he'll take information
right the game 15, day,
15 seconds before the game.
Is that right?
If it'll help. If it makes sense, if it's something he probably already knows, he'll be like, yeah, I thought about that or I saw that. Good point. You know what I mean? Like, I think the great coaches, the information, the intake of information.
Would you ever say to him, like, if I were you, Josh McDaniels, I wouldn't throw as much today.
No.
That's too big a note.
Nah, I wouldn't say if I were you. These guys are well equipped with information and they have a game plan in place. They know all the do's and don'ts.
That's the difference between you and me. I'd be like, if it were me. This is what I would do, John.
And I'd be like, twice. not you.
We don't care who you are and we don't know your name. Please leave the premises before we have the authorities come and get you. All right, I want to talk about the Chargers. I have been saying since before the season that this team is headed to the Super Bowl. By record, they're the second best team in the AFC, even better than the team they're visiting up in New England this weekend. Let's see if we can divine, flag it or make it, who is the key to this game by identifying, as the game wraps up, they'll say the MVP of this one is fill in the blank. We'll start with Phillip Rivers. Is he the MVP of this game?
He could be. I think quarterback play is crucial. We saw that in a few games. We saw that in the Dallas game. We saw that against Baltimore with Phillip Rivers. But to me, the MVP of that game against Baltimore with Phillip Rivers was the defense because of what they were able to do to, you know, Lamar Jackson. Remember, they went up 12-0. They couldn't get in the end zone for a while. And if you had any offense on the other side of the ball, it would have been a different outcome, but they didn't. And then Phillip made good decisions to finish. And he made some key throws down the line to finish, but it was a tight game up until then. But I will say, now you're not going against Lamar Jackson. You're going against Tom Brady. A lot of people have been very critical of his play in the last few weeks. He will come out on fire. He will come out trying to win this game at all costs. So now quarterback play is crucial on the other side. You do have a running game. You do have a lot of weapons on the outside, but you're going to have to play at a certain level at a place where the Patriots are not used to losing and you're not used to winning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, the QB is significant on some level, no matter what pro football game you're talking about. There's no way, not the 2017 Jaguars, not the 2018 Ravens, not anybody is immune to at some point in a big game, your guy has to be able
to
make a throw
plays,
or a few throws
plays.
For you.
I wouldn't say he needs to go in and score 40, but he needs to go in and make critical plays.
So Phillip Rivers, you're going to say flake it, is not going to be the MVP of this game.
Yeah, I'm saying he's not.
Okay, let's go to the other side of that. Number 12, then, coming out on fire, Tom Brady. Why do you say he's going to come? When you say he's going to be motivated to play well, or do you think he will, in fact, play really well right out of the game?
Well, I don't think it's going to all come down to Tom Brady either. I think this defense is going to have a big part in this, the Patriots defense. Mm-hmm. I think with Tom, we've seen a variety of defense, I mean, of offense the last few weeks. I think it's going to come down to how the backs play. I think it's going to come down to guys like Cordarrelle Patterson, the wild card, who's not the big-name guy, but who's very critical in what they do offensively. Philip Dorsett, that guy who's taken over for Josh Gordon. So I think it'll be more of a role player type thing versus the guys that we're used to seeing going out making plays. The quarterback's going to have to be solid, but there's going to be opportunities for these guys to get the ball in space to make plays, especially in the special teams with Cordarrelle Patterson. That's big. We saw how big that was in the Dallas game. Mm-hmm. So I would say the defense and role players, in my opinion, are the guys who really, really need to step up.
Yeah, you know, you and I have talked about this for, I would say, the last 6-8 weeks maybe, is that the emergence of number 26, Sony Michel, it seems as though it's not a secret. Everybody knows now that they're giving the ball to the kid quite
a bit. Rex Burkhead is back, too.
He's
so
good.
They really like him in a lot of different situations.
They like him on that wheel and stuff,
they
and then James White, they give
it
to him in space
all
the time.
All backs will play. All the backs will play, and they'll have different roles.
Well, a handful for, I mean, listen.
So what
everybody,
do we call that? A make it, or we call?
I don't
it
know. You call? Or, I mean, listen. We can get to the end of the novel right here if all you right. want to. Are you saying 12's your MVP of the game?
No.
Okay. All right. We press on then. Let's talk about who we were just who I just mentioned there. Number 26, Sony Michel, the rookie. This has a poor man's equivalence to John Elway with getting over on with Terrell Davis a little bit, or Peyton Manning leaning on his defense. Is Tom Brady, no disrespect, it's not that people have been, what did you say, very critical of his play?
Very critical.
I mean,
not the same him, Gronk, all the guys.
He's 40-41. That's, I mean, he doesn't look the same.
He won a league MVP last year.
Okay, but you...
Well, age doesn't matter. We can't use age.
Yes, we can, Willie. You know better than I do.
You're saying a half a season of or 5 games probably of not playing well means it's because of your age.
That sounds silly.
But you could play well like the first 8 games and then go, so perfect example. Is it Drew Brees' age, the reason why he didn't play well the last 4 weeks of the season?
Maybe.
Or he didn't play well in Dallas?
Maybe.
We're talking MVP, though. He's in the MVP race, him and Pat Mahomes.
Well, first of all, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP.
No, I'm just
That's
saying.
But yeah, I hear you.
He's in the conversation.
Right.
He broke a record this year, another record.
I hear you. But
he has the best completion percentage in the league.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What I've said for quite some time now is, it sounds weird to say out loud, but it is. It doesn't seem like, boy, he's slowly...
We said that two years ago,
slowly not looking as good. It's like one day they're really good, then the next day they're not.
We said it 2 years ago, and then he was the Super Bowl MVP.
Okay, I'm just asking. You know better than I do about Tom Brady.
I want to see it before I say it, though. Like, you can't be the Super Bowl MVP, win the Super Bowl, and then be the MVP and break Super Bowl records in the passing game and all that and say, oh, you fell off. Last year you were the league MVP and still broke records and lost in the Super Bowl. But broke records in the passing game. He's falling off. This year, a couple games, like I look at players, not just Tom, but players all across the league, and I base that evaluation off of production versus non-production. If you have a couple bad games, I still think Drew's one of the best. I'm not going to look at 2 games out of 16 or 3 games and say, oh, man, I think it's his age. He just fell off. I'm looking like, hey, teams made adjustments. He didn't play well. This is why he played well and didn't look good, but he still Drew Brees.
I mean, listen.
That's all I'm saying.
Look, if we're talking about, if we're going back to what we've done the last couple of years and making a finger bet on whether or not Tom Brady's going to be good or bad, I'm going to go with he's going to be good if I have a digit on the line over it. However,
All that matters, though. If you put your hard-earned money up and somebody said put your check one way or the other, you have no choice. Where are you putting your check?
With Brady.
Okay, but what's next?
I'm just saying, I mean, for the record, my eyeballs are working, and I can see that he doesn't like taking some hits.
Nobody likes taking
hits. I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Who likes taking hits?
You know, he got like a tick earlier, he's getting rid of it.
Who likes taking hits? He's always led the league in getting the ball out quick.
All right. Okay, I'm just asking. So that's not it. Sony Michel, that's who we're talking about right now. Sony Michel, game MVP, yes or no?
No. I'm gonna say
he's flaking it too.
No, I'm gonna say he's going with because with this offense and the defense that they're playing against, they're going to lean on a lot of different components. I don't think it'll just be we're gonna hand Sony the ball 45 times. That's not it. James is gonna have 15 to 20 touches.
Mm.
He's pretty special.
He's right? It seems like he's gotten the best of all treatment from New England, which is we got to save you a little bit for the postseason.
Well, no, we're going to run you. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to pass it to you.
But he went weeks without much usage. No. Got to keep you fresh for the postseason.
James has been the constant on anything with this offense all the way down the line from week one through week 17. He's been the constant, James White. Look at it. Check it out.
Okay, so not Sony Michel, but are you? So then you go three-headed monster.
He will have his share. Yeah, I'll go. I go more three-headed monster than I go one.
Okay, so if we're gonna giving it to a position group, New England Patriots running backs are the game MVP.
Yeah, I could give you that for the offensive side.
Let me throw this at you. It's gonna be cold. It may snow. We're not positive about that. Either way, here's the easy thing to say. Well. Oh, man, Foxborough, man, that's not good for the L.A., for the pretty boys to have to go up there and play a game. We saw Jared Goff and the Rams struggle in Chicago.
I won't say that.
Well, here, let me tell you what I figured out. This information is available to anybody who's got the Googles. You know, if you got that on your computers, you can look this up and confirm it.
Okay.
Melvin Gordon is a Wisconsin native.
Mm.
Justin Jackson is a Chicagoland native. Both toiled in the Big Ten. Ergo, both are impervious to frigid conditions. It's not going to undo them. Like, I don't like the cold. I can't make it in this car. I'm a SoCal pretty boy. What?
The Chargers have went into Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. Right. There you go.
Went into Pittsburgh. And they've went into Baltimore. All those places are warm. Pretty warm, I would say. No.
No. Well, they didn't win that. They didn't. I mean, they technically
won all,
on the
they won all three.
I know, but the
they won all three. I know
the one,
they
what
won
happened
all
in Pittsburgh didn't shouldn't have counted.
Why are we only talking about Pittsburgh?
Because I'm just pointing out that's an asterisk. But all right.
But the weather,
right?
Cold and the environment hostile. Mm-hmm. Just remember that.
You know what? What also the other question I have for you is how much does it matter that Anthony Lynn knows what Belichick wants to do defensively?
I don't know. Because it's not Belichick, it's more Josh. And those game plans are game specific from week to week. So there's a lot of things that he may have saw against the Jets. You saw a lot of passing because that's something they needed to sharpen up. See, they go into week 17. The starters played all the way through pretty much. And they know there are certain aspects to their game they needed to work on. Offensively, we saw a lot of passing. That's what they need to get sharp because they knew they would have a two-week layoff.
Is that what they're doing, or do they try to create? Because it would seems like, you
they
know.
They put stuff on film, so you have to prepare
for it. That's what I was going to say.
That you may not
that's
see
what I was gonna say.
Or you may see.
How many teams – I mean, first of all, you have to be in the luxurious position of knowing that the game doesn't really matter that much to you based on where you're seeded.
Well, no, you had to win because if you would have lost, you probably wouldn't have got the two seed.
Right, but so they can simultaneously, like you say, put stuff on film. Are you aware that most teams do that? Do some teams do that?
I would say some teams. I wouldn't say all the teams. They should because now
you must account for it.
Right, when I'm sitting in the defensive, we're going on all these different packages that we got to prepare for. We may only see a quarter of this. We may only see half. But we got to take time out of practice, which the luxury of having a bye allows you to do that. But we got to take time and put periods into practice to go over all this crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely get it. Well, that's also why I always say if I were a head coach, if it were me, I think someone once said, if it were me, what I would do in building a team, I would not have an identical quarterback. I get the reason why you would want a close facsimile to your starting QB. So if he gets hurt, you just throw the next guy in. Don't skip a beat, guys. Just keep doing. I'd rather have the curveball on the bench and just be and say like, oh, he's hurt.
Just said Philadelphia. You just mentioned the Philadelphia scenario.
No,
that Carson Wentz. That's an athletic.
Yeah,
guy
I guess
that
that's kind of true.
That's,
yeah, that's true. He's
and then
more
you got
athletic.
Nick Foles. That's right there, statue, but can throw it.
You're not giving them a chance in NOLA this weekend, are you?
Hey, I don't. I'm picking the Saints, but I'm not counting them off.
I kind of am.
Are you?
Well, when you whip a team, it's not like they beat them. They shame them. And Maurice Jones-Drew says, oh, well, that's put a chip on the Eagles' shoulder. Now they're going to go down there with something to prove. Not when you get whipped like that. The results can't be that different.
I will say the regular season doesn't really matter because this is a different team than they are now. And I know, I'm sure MJD said that. But you're not going to go into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Superdome, and score 16 points and think you're going to come out of there with a win.
Right.
It's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to – well, definitely they'll have to turn that in, element of things up. And lastly then, so you've named the three-headed monster of the Patriots in the backfield as your MVP, but I want to throw one more at you here. Bosa and Ingram –
I'm going to have two MVPs. I can tell you that now by looking at your list.
Okay, Melvin Ingram was dynamite. Anyone who's followed the Chargers for any amount of time has known that he is kind of their defensive X factor. When he's been healthy the last 5 years, he is consistently dominant. And for whatever reason, he slipped through the cracks. But as soon as Joey Bosa arrived, suddenly now they had the two towers to go and get you. And that's really dangerous. And in that cold, and say what you want, 41 Brady or anybody else, so to your point, doesn't want to get hit under those conditions. If those big guys are getting after them, that's going to be bad. And then the other thing is too, Casey Hayward, is who's he gonna lock up? Julian Edelman, do you figure?
It's not a good matchup.
No,
he's more of an outside
guy. Corderell guy.
Yeah, he's more of an outside guy.
And then Derwin James.
I don't know if they travel their corners. I don't know if they'll do that. They could, but I would, you know, still got Hogan, still got Gronk.
Who do you pick on if you're
you got
Brady?
Derwin James too, so you got a guy that can cover certain receivers and tight ends. And
I assume he has to look at 87 a little bit.
Gronk, Hogan, he can cover all those guys.
I think that, James White. For all the talk, can I tell you something? I think for all the talk of, you know, and it will build as game time approaches, old man Rivers versus Tom Terrific and all that kind of stuff, I think this one comes down to rookie v. rookie, Derwin James v. Sony Michel. Whoever wins that one, they're going to have James up in the box, right, to try and take away 26.
Yeah, he plays everywhere, yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what they did against – I mean, I know it's a
different
matchup.
Well, because he's a better guy in the box. He can cover, too. He could play up high. He could play single high or he could play down in the box, but – the other safety, is it Adai or Jenkins? They can't. Mm. They're not as good in the box as he is. They're not as physical.
So, okay, give me your other MVP then. You said you had another one.
You got it right here.
Oh, so if the Chargers win, the MVP will be the two pass rushers.
Yep, because they're going to have to play great in the running game to stop that, and then they're going to have to be able to affect the pocket constantly. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and understanding that the teams that were successful this year were able to do that.
I wonder if the Chargers will say, you know what, Gronk looks so ineffective at this point. Derwin James, your responsibility in this one, take away James White in space.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right? That seems smarter to me. I take my chances with Gronk looking like he's looked.
Philadelphia did that in the Super Bowl a little bit. They use Malcolm Jenkins to play against James White a lot.
I mean, how many games have we watched Tom Brady with that swing pass to James White or whoever else and devastate slowly over the course of 60 minutes?
They call
him
Sweet Feet on his Instagram. Sweet Feet. Shout out Sweet Feet.
That's another good little storyline. Wisconsin v. Wisconsin. Ooh. Running backs there. Melvin Gordon and James White. Dear friends. Go. Lastly, real quick, Willie. What do you think? What's your emotion when you hear?
We're just talking about one game?
No.
The one game?
I'd love to hear your picks on the other one.
I was just saying, we're just going to pick on the one game?
No, go ahead. You're picking the Saints by how many?
I'm taking the Saints. I don't have points. I would say by 10 points.
I got it. Okay.
I'll give you 10 points.
I give them double-digit win.
The Kansas City game, I think Kansas City pulls this out by a touchdown.
I think they jump ahead, as has been their formula this year, but I bet you Andrew Luck tries to rally them, and they barely hold on to win it.
This defense is different. With Houston back in the lineup.
Well, like we talked about off
Chris
the air.
Chris Jones now. Yep. You got D Ford. You know, they tied for first in sacks with D Ford and Chris Jones. Chris Jones is the guy nobody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you add Houston, that's going to mean he's going to have some opportunity.
They get the lead, yeah. Even though the Colts offensive line is good.
They jump out.
Right.
Jump out.
That's how they've done it all.
Offensive line doesn't play defense, though.
Oh, man. If
that O-line doesn't play defense.
They're going to get so – that stadium is going to be have such a negative energy if they fall behind at any point in the game.
It's not like the Texans crowd. It's totally different. It's totally different.
They fall behind, though. These are faithful people who've waited 50 years for a return to the Super Bowl. They're going to be so nervous if things go wrong. And then it'll permeate down to the sideline.
It'll be loud.
Not loud fall behind. Then it'll be spooky. Loud then it'll nervous. Be all quiet in there. And So let's round it out here then. Who will your – so you got the Chiefs surviving. So it'll be the Chiefs hosting the Patriots by your – pick here.
Yeah, and we're not doing Super Bowl AFC Championship yet. We're just going this weekend, divisional round.
Yeah, but you just said, are we only picking
divisional
the one game?
Round. No, I'm saying there's how many games are this weekend?
All right, well, so then pick the, what are we missing? The NFC game. Yeah. Oh, here in Los Angeles, yeah. Cowboys, Rams, choose.
I think the Rams have been a little disrespected
over the
course of two or 3 weeks, they've been hearing about everybody else and how bad this defense is and how Jared Goff has struggled, and, you know, Wade Phillips has been listening. He's been taking a shot. His defense has been taking a shot. Sean McVay has been at the podium a little different the last few weeks. You can see that it's bothering him. Mm-hmm. And guys like that go to work, and he motivates. And he's getting in these guys' ears. Hey, we got to represent. They're at home.
I completely agree with everything you just said about that one. Are you surprised Josh McDaniels isn't moving, or you think he's just hanging in waiting for BB to
– Right situation, which could probably be where he's
in Foxborough?
Whenever Bill's ready.
Is that your prediction?
I don't know. It has to be a great situation to pop up. And, I mean, not just team-wise and quarterback-wise, but front office-wise. He's going to have some ability to make moves, you know, upstairs, because that's what he's used to seeing, and that's what works. You got to have say, you know, you got to have influence, you got to be able to maneuver, you got to
cook the meal, structure. You got to be able to choose the groceries. I came up with that by myself.
You sure did.
I made that one
up. I just heard that for the first
time. I know. It's a neat way to put it into perspective. Yeah,
you're so sharp.
It's a good metaphor.
You're so sharp.
And lastly, so what do you think about Cliff Kingsbury? First of all, I guess who knows anything, but it is weird that he had a losing record in college, and it wasn't over one season or anything.
The offense was good, though.
I know, but it was a protracted time, relatively speaking, that he was there and didn't turn them into a winner. Right?
Say.
Handsome, though.
I guess now you can lose in college and be a hot commodity as a head coach in the NFL.
We'll see, though.
I will say this. It's like, in my opinion, with Kingsbury and a lot of these other coaches and everybody's making this comparison to McVay. First of all, let's get off of that. There's not a lot of McVays out there. Also, understand the structure McVay came into was a good situation, okay? You got Les Snead up top with the guys that are working in the building that understand and that had put a pretty damn good team together that Sean McVay came into. Sean McVay has a beautiful football mind. Right. But he had help. He had assistance. He got a defensive coordinator. Right. A veteran, knowledgeable, winning defensive coordinator that you don't have to cross the line and even worry about what's going on over there in between plays at the half. None of that. He's got it. And you had talent at the running back and they did a good job upstairs of bringing in other talent where they needed left tackle, center. They brought in Kupp. They got rid of Watkins, who hadn't played, wasn't really there. Mm-hmm. They brought in Robert Woods. They did a good job of bringing in other talent when he got there. And he came up with a great system offensively to cater to a developing quarterback who's still learning how to diagnose disguises, protections, going through everything you do, walking up to the line, and knowing where to go with the football. We've seen him struggle, but he's learning. He's not there yet. But you got a guy that's got the training wheels on that's helping you, a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a perfect situation. Ask yourself this. If Kingsbury can go into the Cardinals situation and turn that into a playoff team in how many years? It's not happening next year. I can promise you that.
Well, I mean, I also now think that people that we get distracted situation by situation.
Caught up on what everybody else is doing.
That's why
When Sean McVay came through, oh, I need the next Sean McVay. Everybody's going nuts.
No, what I was going to say is the Colts didn't want Frank Reich. They wanted your guy, Josh McDaniels, and then they wind up. And this was a team that almost nobody, but by the way, you were in with us in the preseason. We said, let's make a bold prediction of one team that's going to get to the postseason. And James Jones said the Indianapolis Colts.
He said, Did he?
Yeah. Isn't that a mate? That's pretty good. That's a good call by him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good, it's a solid team.
You said the Titans.
They did get to the playoffs. Oh, they would have. Yeah. One game away.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I can't always be right.
All right. I'm just making a point about that. No, but the
I give you this emoji.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think that it's off the table that any team can
make the playoffs.
It
came down to win or go home. I mean, the Colts won.
I hear you.
It's not like they dominated the division.
I just wish those two teams would have tied to put the Steelers in as the sixth seed, and they would have beaten the Texans last week. All right.
Always get back to the Steelers.
That's right.
Anyway, this was a good show.
This our conversation. Yeah, I thought it was very strong. Yeah. Nicely done, 55. Travel safe. Enjoy your visit back to your second home there up in the New England.
You mean
region.
My third home? I thought Cleveland was my second home.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forget. I forget myself sometimes.
Because it's SC Cleveland, then New England. How you did it?
No, that's not what you did. You went to USC, then you went to the Patriots for a while, then you went to the Browns.
I know, but you don't ever recognize the Patriots as my first NFL home. You always say Cleveland first.
I don't know. All I
jersey, that jersey right there.
I see
Cleveland
behind.
Brown
that's
jersey.
All. That's what I'm reacting to when I look at the jerseys back
it's right
here.
There. It's a Cleveland Brown jersey.
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of my first home in here.
That's what I mean. That's what it makes me think. It's a top of brain kind of thing. Like I see the orange 55.
Got you. All right.
How do you think about Freddie Kitchens too? By the way,
they like him.
Good for them that they like him. But are the Browns to be trusted? Do you like him?
I think so. I, from what I've heard from the guys that I talked to upstairs, they think they got their man. We'll see.
Really? Yeah. You talked to John Dorsey? Why can't you say guys. You talked to him?
I talked to guys upstairs.
Yeah?
But hey.
Did you tell John Dorsey if I were you?
His record. Look at his record.
Who?
Kitchens.
What do you mean his record?
It's got a winning record.
It wasn't his team. It was Greg Williams' team, wasn't it?
It was his team. He's got the head coaching job. It was his team. Think about it.
Yeah. I guess that tells you everything.
It tells you everything.
And by the way, I think his first order of business was like, yeah, I definitely want the head coaching gig. One thing, though. The other guy got to go. I can't have him here. You can't. By the way, they had to let him go, actually, because they couldn't say, like, yeah, we want to keep both of you. Just you got to flip titles. You're now the head coach. Now you're the coordinator. Yeah, you couldn't really do that. Good times, Willie McGinnis. Like I say, safe travels. Enjoy the game. I suspect it will be a Chargers victory, as I already mentioned there. We shall see. Either way, that's it for this week's edition of Flake It or Make It, presented by Head & Shoulders.
Dave Damashek.
All right, great stuff from 55, and double that for number 22/80, Bucky Brooks. Great insights for the divisional round upcoming. Tell all your friends what you just heard. You don't even have to give Bucky or Willie credit for it. Just take full credit. Like, I've been thinking about this, and you can break it down and seem super wise. That's why you listen to the Dave Damashek football program. We'll be back for you after the divisional round, in front of the championship round, to get you right for those games. Until then, go to NFL.com/DDFP. Go check out Dave's of Thunder. Go check out the Good Sports segment on the Adam Carolla Show. Listen to the broadcast, why don't you? Do all those things. That's got to do something before the playoff games kick off. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.